Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Another brilliant weather day, and I looked at the forecast. We should have a sponsor for the weather at some point. I should do it now. The forecast every day is like 80 sunny, 75 sunny, 72 sunny. So we're having our San Diego, I guess today's the official start of fall, I guess, right? September 21st ends summer and starts fall. So weather is amazing. You're driving around doing all the things that you do on the Saturdays, going to the dentist, right? Or picking up stuff from Home Depot or wherever, you know, getting bagels for the weekend or coffee or the paper, whatever you're doing. Happy to be with you all the way till noon. You know how it works. 9:45, we'll do a frenzy. 10:30, we'll do Stump Rothenberg. 11 o'clock, RJ Bell joins us live from Vegas. So there's a lot going on, and there's a lot going on. I was, you know, like flipping balls in the air. Where do I go to start the show? Do we go Mets? Do we go Antonio Brown, who at this point, I don't even know what to say about him. Do we go Eli and the Giants? And, you know, Eli and the Giants, we'll get there, I think, in a few minutes. Let's spend a couple of minutes, just a couple, on the baseball, the Mets and the Yankees. You obviously hope that Torres injury last night. Now, he stayed in the game. Injury did not look good. You'd hope that he's going to be fine. You'd expect him to be fine. But, you know, just, it didn't look great. So we'll certainly keep an eye on that. If we have any updates, we'll bring that to your attention. You had a feeling the Yankees were going to lose this game last night. Why do you say that? Because they won the division the night before, and they were partying the night before, and they were partying all night the night before, and the night after that, you typically don't win the next day. But honestly, let's be frank as we sit here. Yankees are not going to have home field throughout. They're now, what, two games behind Houston, and Houston has the tiebreaker, so you do the math. And Houston is a absolute beast. I mean, there's nothing shy of admitting what they are. That is the best team, in my estimation, the best team in Major League Baseball. If there was no, cause I, as good as the Dodgers are, and they're great, I don't trust them. Like, if it was Yankees-Dodgers World Series, I would go Yankees, you know, in an hour margin. I just think that Houston has so much. I mean, Verlander and Cole and Greinke, and you look at that lineup, and we look at the Yankees lineup, and we're always just amazed at how dominant it is, right? How there's no weak spot, or Urshela hits, and LeMahieu, and Stanton's back now, and Judge, and Torres, and Didi, and Sanchez when he hopefully gets back healthy, and Gardner's had an unbelievable season, and you say, you know, there's no weak spot. Houston is the exact same way. I mean, there is nothing weak about that lineup. Nothing. I mean, Correa and Bregman, and you know, Springer leads off. There's not a weak spot. So maybe their weak spot in that team is their bullpen. And if you're the Yankees, that's where you have to try to get to, right? And I know that we're jumping the gun. Here's how I see it. I could be wrong, and I'm not a Yankees fan, so I'll just throw it out there. I'm sorry. Yankees Twins to me. And look, who knows what happens? Yankees should walk through the Twins. And I know the Twins are a good baseball team, but to me, they don't match up with the Yankees. Will they be high scoring games? Maybe so. But I would be surprised if that series even went five. Like, I would think the Yankees win that series in four or less. But, you know, you have to play the games, and of course they will. But to me, the series that I mean, would just need to see, love to see, is Yankees Astros. Cause those, to me, I believe those are the best two teams in all of baseball. And I think we're at the point now where we can admit that it's going to be Yankees and probably Twins, and Yankees probably not going to win that division. It'll be, Houston and you root for, you know, for your life, for Oakland or Tampa or Cleveland, whoever's going to be coming out of that wild card matchup, and against Houston, and try to get them out. But odds are you're going to see Yankees and Astros. So that's where we are with the Yankees. The Herman story is, I mean, what can you say about it? It's a terrible story, and it kind of intersects what's comfortable to talk about sports, and then real life gets in the way. But what we do is talk about sports. And then when we analyze the sports aspect, people say, don't you care that he's accused of, you know, domestic violence? Of course you care. Of course you do. It's troubling. It's disturbing. You look at him in an entirely different light right now. You take everything into question about what kind of a guy he is. And then there is the sports aspect, which is that's a big loss for the Yankees. I'm not making light of the story. I'm not making light of the situation remotely. But that's where we are. It's a horrible story. You're embarrassed for him. You're saddened for him. You're horrified for him, by him. I mean, it's true. You have to wonder, you know, his future on the Yankees, And there's a sports implication. And that sports implication is he's a big piece to the Yankees, and they will now not have him. So it's big. So you thought you're going to have Betances and Herman, and now you're not going to have either of those guys. So it's bad. It's big. And you need all hands on deck to go up against this kind of a team. Astros are the elite of the elite. So that's where we are with the Yankees. Mets are, you know, they won't go away, but the problem is the Brewers can't help but beat the Pirates. The Pirates are so bad. I mean, just unbelievably bad. So this is where we are. Mets are 3.5 games behind. Washington wins again. You might catch Chicago if you're the Mets. In fact, it looks like you might. I think you're 1.5 behind Chicago, but you got to go by Chicago and another team. And therein lies the problem, the other team. Because I don't know how you get by Milwaukee. Milwaukee's schedule is just not all that daunting. And if Washington completely collapses, but Washington is playing Miami this weekend. So, I mean, if you're the Mets, you have no margin for error. You just have to win every single game. You're 3.5 games behind Milwaukee. You're 4.5 games behind Washington. So this is what you do if you're a Mets fan. You need to win and root for those two teams to lose. That's where we are. I'm not even worried about Chicago now. They play the Cardinals a whole bunch of times, and they're scuffling. So you're the Mets. Win games. Hope those at least one of those two teams lose, and away you go. But they've been playing good baseball, and they went 2 out of 3 in Colorado, and they win last night. And, I mean, Alonso, I can't tell you how impressed I am with him. I mean, he's been scuffling lately. You know, they had to bench him last week. He continues to rake. He hits his 50th last night. It's a you know, prodigious shot. He's just great. He really is. I mean, for a guy in his first year to come up and take the league by storm, and that's what he's done. I mean, we have seen this once, guys. And I've heard a lot of people say, and this is such a weak excuse, oh, the baseballs are just, stop it. The guy has 50 home runs. 50! I mean, there's been one player in the history of baseball as a rookie who's hit more home runs. And I know the Yankees fan, oh, I don't want Alonso to hit 2 more. Well, you know what? He probably is going to. He's got 9 games to hit 2 more home runs. So odds are he's going to do that and maybe even more. So that's where we are with the Mets. They're frustrating. DeGrom is just, I mean, he is unbelievable. And I got into a discussion with Rick, and Rick says he thinks that the Cy Young in the National League goes to Ryu. I think it's going to go back to DeGrom. I do. I mean, he's that good. He gives you 7 shutout innings. His whip is less than 1 now. His ERA goes down to 2.51. Wins are completely irrelevant at this point. He walked none last night. 4 hits, 9 Ks on under 100 pitches. He's just great. Now, he wasn't at this level all season. He did have a little bit of a hiccup to start the year. Not that he was awful. He had that great start in Miami. Remember that one? And then he kind of scuffled a little bit. For, I don't know, 2 or 3 starts, and I think he was on the IL as well, and he's come back and he's been great. So, Scherzer got hit around the other day. I don't know. If I was, you know, giving you some insight into this race, I would say it's a 3-pitcher race. DeGrom, Ryu, and Scherzer. But as we come down the home stretch, I feel like DeGrom is kind of running past those guys. So hopefully he wins it yet again. So is the future bright for the Mets? I mean, I don't know. Do they have pieces? Absolutely. I mean, McNeil is terrific, and Alonso is terrific, but this year, someone was asking me yesterday, you consider this to be a successful season for the Mets? And my answer was, not really. Said, well, why? Look at the youth you have on this. You got Alonso, you got McNeil, you got Rosario, you got Conforto, you got Nimmo, and this is a good young team. Yeah, but you know what? If the bullpen was average, like the definition of average right now, this year, this would not be a good young team. This would be a team, he said, they're going to be in the postseason. And that's, to me, what's frustrating. Because they were this far. Like, if Diaz was just, if they acquired Diaz this year, and he was, you said, boy, you know, he's not the 57 save guy, but he's fine. You'd be a playoff team. He's been, you can't put him anywhere near the mound in a big spot. That's what he's been. If he was, yeah, he's okay. You know, he's 32 of 39 in saves. He's been hit around a couple times, but overall he's been pretty good. Not great. You know what? He wasn't what I thought we were getting, but he's been fine. You'd be a playoff team right now. So that's, to me, why I don't look at the Mets and say, it's so exciting. Because if it would be exciting, even more so, if the guys that were expected to produce, could you imagine if you had a good Diaz and Lugo pitching like this? You'd be so much more excited. So 3.5 out, 4.5 out. That's where we are. We'll see if the Mets can get themselves back into contention this weekend. I guess you want to get to what? to 2.5 by the end of the weekend, and then you got to sweep the week. I mean, the problem is there's no margin for error. None. And with Milwaukee playing Pittsburgh this weekend, it's daunting. So maybe Pittsburgh can steal one, and the Mets just have to continue to roll along. So that's kind of the baseball open. I wanted to get into that a little bit. Obviously, we're going to be heavy football today. 9:45, we'll do the frenzy. Two NFL stories that really I want to get into a lot today, and that is Antonio Brown and just the headache that he is at this point. I mean, he is an absolute disaster. I don't know that he ever plays in the NFL again. So that's the negative, the bad, the questionable about the NFL. And then, and I've said it a lot this week, and we'll get into it as we progress here, 800-919-3776, and that is where we are with Eli Manning. You know, this has been, and I'm sorry, I got to be honest, I have no confidence in the Giants brass. I have no confidence in Shermer. I have no confidence in Gettleman. Mara leaves me scratching my head at this point, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and say all is well with the Giants. If Daniel Jones is good, I have no confidence in Gettleman. Even if Daniel Jones is good, I mean, you look at what he's done since he's been here. Has he made one move that you look at and you say, you know what, Dave, there's a great move. We don't know about Daniel Jones. You go through his free agents, I mean, Amame, and you list them on your own. You don't even sit here and rattle them off. They've been terrible. I mean, you move on from Landon Collins, you trade Odell Beckham, you trade Olivier Vernon. I mean, everything, every piece that was, oh, that's a piece, that's now gone. So, I don't know. The culture may be great, the locker room may be great, but you're losing games by 30 points. And I don't know that that's great.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, the football frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. A lot to do. 800-919-3776. A lot of questions to get to on Twitter as well, at Rothenberg ESPN. Now, Mish, just to go over it again, we're only week three. If people call and say, Dave, love the show, Ty can be a... Yes. Dave, big fan, but Ty can be a little... Right. Exact. Don't even let them get it out. Just buzz them. Dave, big fan, how are you? You got it down well. 800-919-3776. James, Spring Valley, you're on the frenzy.
Over under Daniel Jones throws for 250 yards in his debut.
I'm going to say over. I think he has a good day. I think they're going to do things that they've been unable to do for a long time and that he produces tomorrow. And listen, I know the Tampa Bay defense is good, but I don't think it's great. And I think he'll go over. I don't know that the Giants win, but I think he's going to have a good game. And that's really all you want tomorrow. Raymond Wantall. Raymond, you're on the frenzy.
Should the Jets do what the Rangers did? Trade everything before the trading deadline, get as many draft picks, and let this GM do the job from the ground up.
Well, who are you going to trade? And that's the question. Thanks for it. I mean, who do you think has this unbelievable value? I don't think Leonard Williams has great value. You're not going to trade Darnold. You want to trade Jamal Adams? I mean, who are you going to trade? You're going to wind up stockpiling picks? Robbie Anderson? Jamison Crowder? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think that's an option for the Jets, and that's not going to happen. 800-919-3776. Gerard, Brooklyn, you're on the frenzy.
Will Kaepernick play in the NFL this season?
No.
Or any season thereafter?
Never. Never. You will never see Colin Kaepernick on an NFL field again. Mark 65 wants to know, who will have more passing touchdowns by week 10, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones? By week 10, I mean, you got to figure that Jones is going to have a three-game head start. I'll say Jones. If they were playing the same amount of games, I would say Darnold, but that's not going to be the situation. Because at the earliest, Darnold is going to come back as week 5, and Jones will have three games in the bank by then. All right, Dave and Parsippany, you're on the frenzy, Dave.
Yeah, game of the week. 2-0 Chiefs, 2-0 Ravens. Who's walking out undefeated?
Chiefs. And listen, the Ravens have been really impressive, and it's hard to go against them, but you're on the road in Kansas City. I mean, just Vegas dictates that the Chiefs are going to end this week at 3 You know, they're a really good football team. Defense not great. Offensively, oh, as good as anybody. Jason in Babylon. Jay, you're on the frenzy.
Yeah, nobody talks about how horrible Giants ownership has been. Do you think they should fire Dave Gettleman at the end of the season and start all over?
Let's see. I mean, let's see where we are. Giants ownership has been bad. But, I mean, if Jones looks good and the defense gets a little better and the Giants win, it doesn't even matter how many games you win. If Jones looks good, if we get to the end of the season now and we can honestly say, you know what, Daniel Jones is a good quarterback and is going to be a really good quarterback, you're going to completely change your tune. You will not dislike Gettleman, even if you win three games. If Jones looks awful, we have problems. Big problems. Howie Queens, you're on the frenzy, Howie.
Yeah, Eli Manning, Phil Simms. If you have to win one game, what do you take?
I love both guys. Eli. I mean, and he's shown that. Eli's been good throughout his career. When you have to win one game, that's when Eli's at his best. Now, Simms had, you know, his career game in the Super Bowl as well. But Eli's done it over and over and over. Darren Newark. Darren, you're on the frenzy.
Is it time to cut bait with Quincy Enunwa, whether he's healthy or not?
I mean, you just signed him. No, I'd give him one more chance, and we'll see what he is for one more season. But you're not far from that, unfortunately. It's a shame because he's a talented player, and he's got real potential, but he just can't stay healthy. Mike in Roxbury. You're up, Mike.
For tomorrow, Daniel Jones has more throwing attempts than Saquon has rushing attempts.
Yes, absolutely. Daniel Jones is going to throw the ball 30 times. Saquon Barkley's not going to run the ball 30 times. I'm actually excited to see what they're going to do with Jones out of the pocket. I mean, what the Giants have not had a quarterback that can roll out of the pocket since when? I mean, Kerry Collins was somewhat mobile, but not overly mobile. Chris in Staten Island. You're up, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, nice, Mish. I mean, it feels to me, Mish, that you are more on the ball today than you've been in months.
That was aggressive.
Yeah, no, good for her.
But you can tell it was just like a sincere pleasantry of, hey, guy, like he didn't even realize
he was bad.
No, you shouldn't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
He didn't realize he was violating the rules.
No. No, it's no, hey,
it's
guys.
It's just in your nature to greet someone when you
speak to
them.
Get it out of your nature.
Oh, come on.
Get it?
Mish.
No, Todd.
I mean,
no.
Mish,
don't let him beat you up over this. She did the right thing. If you're going to, hey, because you don't know where Hey Guys leads either. Hey Guys.
But it was,
you know what was,
it was
you know
two
what was next?
Seconds.
Hey Guys, big fan of the show. She just saved us that time.
I feel, call back whenever you want. I forget his
call
name.
Call back and
Chris.
Try again. Because
yeah,
the first time, you failed. Chris and Beth Page, you're on the frenzy.
Your Giants, Mount Rushmore.
Wow, Lawrence Taylor. Now, is this in my lifetime? Ty, I'm going to let, because he's gone, I'm going to let you, is this all-time Giants or my lifetime Giants?
I think he meant to go with the all-time, your all-time Giants, Mount
all-time
Rushmore.
All-time Giants, Mount Rushmore. Lawrence Taylor. I need time to do this. Rosie Greer. Frank Gifford. I don't know. I need time to think about my fourth. And there's old-time Giants that definitely get consideration. I don't know. I need time to, maybe Eli would go on there. I need time to think about it. But this it's a good question. They've been around for a long time. Walter in Yonkers. Walter, you're on the frenzy.
Yeah. Will Bell get 100 yards rushing and 100 yards receiving today? What do you think?
Come on. Will Lev Bell, let me just see if I understand this question. Will Lev Bell get 100 yards rushing and receiving tomorrow? No. No. Will Lev Bell will not get 100 yards rushing or receiving against the New England defense? No, would be the answer to that one. Let me find one on Twitter and ask it. Do you see Detroit winning on the road against the Eagles? And sadly, I would say no. Even though the Eagles are all sorts of banged up, I still don't think so. I don't think they have enough. I don't trust Detroit. If the game was home, maybe. I know the Eagles receivers are a mess, but I would still say unlikely. All right, Mish.
Micah?
No, you don't go. You blow the whistle.
You wanted me to ask you.
No, we're done. That's the end of the frenzy.
Okay.
There you go. All right. So you know what, Ty? She's so focused on if someone says, hey, guys, that she's not She's not on the ball as much with everything else, but that's fine. We love
I thought you were coming to me for my football frenzy question.
No, that's the end of the frenzy.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Well, you can try. I don't know the success level that you'll have, but you're certainly welcome to it. 800-919-3776. You want to go geography? You want to go movies? You want to go history? You want to go science? You want to go sports? Bring it. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of the unbelievable Andrew M. Cohen. In fact, if you look in the Constitution of the United States, there's an addendum that not a lot of people have read, written by Andrew M. Cohen. So I'm just leaving it out there that maybe you're going to want to get in touch. I'll tell you how in just a moment. 800-919-3776. All right. Stress levels high because last week was so good. I have to live up to that again. I will try. Chris in Jersey, lead us off. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, so the Empire State Building in New York City, it is modeled after another building. What's the name of that building and what's the location of said building?
Empire State Building is modeled after... All right, so we're talking about the... Now,
Hang on.
What were you going to say?
I'll say I'll give you a hint. Go.
No, I don't want a hint. I don't want a hint. Now, I think it's modeled after maybe more than one building or no? Because I've always heard it's modeled after two buildings.
That is incorrect.
All right. So I'll just guess one of the two. I'll say, well, the one in Winston-Salem, the Reynolds Building, was one that I've always heard. Is that correct or no?
That is correct. I am very
impressed.
That's
the one that you're going with.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, I've actually been in that building, Ty, because I was at Winston-Salem many times while living in Raleigh. So, I mean, look at this. We're 1-0. We're rolling along. 800-919-3776. Let's go. This is a great name, by the way. Rusty in Ridgewood. Rusty, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
That is correct. I'm
that's the one that you're going with.
That is correct.
All right, we're gonna move on from you because you're listening to the radio, and that's a big no-no in sports talk. Andy in Merrick. Andy, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave. College football question for you.
Okay.
Who is the Oklahoma Sooners' all-time leading rusher?
So I'm thinking Billy Sims. But maybe it's not. It could be a quarterback. They used to run that. Like Jamel Holloway, right? That's their. That was their big running back, quarterback rusher back in the day. Now Pirine also had a lot of yards when he was there. Adrian Peterson was also there. Boy. I feel like it's either Pirine or Sims. I don't know. I'll go with Billy Sims.
Pirine had 4 yards more than Billy Sims.
Oh. That is so dis. And my analysis was so spot on, and I walked through it like a genius, and it was so good. Ty, you're going to say you don't respect the way I did that, but that was really well done.
It was. It was impressive, but unfortunately, you don't get rewarded for well done. You only get rewarded for correct answers.
But I don't feel like you give me the – I navigated through it. You don't remember Billy Sims. Billy Sims was a great running back. Samaje Perine was good in college, but he's nothing – damn. I'm very upset by this, Ty. All right, let's move along. 800-919-3776. Trey in Brooklyn. Trey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Morning, Dave. How are you?
What's going on, Trey?
All right, let's go into your bailiwick, which is tennis, correct?
I like tennis.
Okay, so my question for you is, the 1989 French Open Final, what teenager hit an underhanded shot to beat Yvonne Lindell for the title?
Michael Chang.
Damn, I hate you, Rothenberg. I hate you.
And that was not in the finals, by the way. I believe, and he went on to win it, but that was not in the finals. The Lindell Chang match, I'm thinking, was either Sweet 16 or quarterfinals. That was not in the in the finals, because I believe he played Edberg in the finals. How about Ty? That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't think that you believe that. All right, let's go to Bruce in Piscataway. Bruce, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave. Who was on deck when Chris Chambliss hit the pennant-winning home run for the Yankees in 1976?
Sandy Alomar.
Oh, my God, you're the first person that ever answered that
question. I'm going to tell you that. Ty, do you remember this? And thanks for
the question. You know how I remember this? Because
you remember this?
Michael Kay called in with the same question.
So Michael Kay, who Michael's a big fan of mine, loves me, texts me all the time. I have to tell him, like, Michael, it's enough. I know we're friends, but enough. He called, what was it, about, I don't know, 4 months ago?
Yeah, it was a couple of months ago.
And he said, this is a great segment. I have a question for you. Who was on deck when Chambliss hit the home run? And I didn't know. And then he said Sandy Alomar, and I don't know if you remember me saying this. I said I will never forget that.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that.
I will lock it away. And this guy calls with a question, and there it just right out. How good was that?
That was amazing. But it is interesting that you say Kay is a big fan of yours.
Loves me.
Is that what you're led to believe?
No. Yeah.
Oh,
I know that his like public image is that he doesn't like me, but he does. He adores me.
You should hear the things he says behind closed doors about me.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't think he's going to appreciate you saying these negative things about him.
I'm not saying anything negative
about him. You're telling me that he says bad things about me.
I just don't want you to be in a position where you're led to believe the wrong things.
Okay. All right. Well, we roll along here. I mean, we're dynamic this morning on Stump Rothenberg. Chris in Stamford. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good. What's going on, Chris? Where are we going here?
This is a combination of geek and sports.
Okay.
Which NBA Hall of Famer appeared on Star Trek: The Next Generation as a Klingon?
NBA Hall of Famer appeared on Star Trek?
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. So we got to be a while back. And I... Oh, God. I don't know. James Worthy was the Star Trek guy. No. Star Trek was what, like 60s? But then, I'll go with the word. He's the only guy I know that didn't like Star Trek.
Dave.
Yeah.
The next generation was late '80s, early '90s.
Oh, the next generation. All right, then Worthy could be that guy still. No.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I said James Worthy.
Yeah, you got it.
That's correct. So, Ty, this is great. The only reason I had any idea is I remember James Worthy interviewed at halftime of a game, and he was saying what a Star Trek geek he was back in the day, and that rung true, and that was the only guy that it's unbelievable, Ty.
It's amazing the knowledge that just stored up in that big head of yours.
It is. Now, I didn't hear him say Next Generation, but that means nothing to me because I don't know anything about Star Trek anyhow. All right, let's go to Rusty in Ridgewood. Rusty is on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning.
What's going on, Rusty?
Everything's good. Thank God, everything's good. How are you doing?
I'm rolling along here, so I'm doing well.
Okay. What number did Don Mattingly wear before he wore number 23?
I can't hear you at all.
I'm sorry. What number Don Mattingly wore before he wore number 23?
What number did Mattingly wear before he won 23?
Before he wore 23.
Well, I know he wore 46 at some point.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You got it.
And there we go. Ty, I think we've put this to rest, don't you think?
I think so.
Would you like to ask a question?
Well, no, I think we can do it without my question.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like you're going to nail it.
So you don't want me to, but it doesn't matter. We will go out on a high note anyway.
Yeah. I was going to ask you because the Yankees just clinched the...
No, I don't want to know. Save it for next week.
All right.
Yeah, save it.
Wait until I'm in the middle of asking it before
you
cut me off.
Well, you said you're not going to ask it, so I shut down.
Okay. So
now I'm done. I turned it off.
You could have still allowed me to ask the question.
Yeah, but but save it for next week. Then you can use it.
Sure.
Right?
No, I'm not going to ask it next week.
Why?
out of protest.
Okay, you put your foot down with that. Stump Rothenberg was brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, law offices of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through careful legal planning. Here's what you do. It's really simple. 516-877-0595. Again, that's 516-877-0595. Or visit amcohenlaw.com. And like I told you, right after the Third Amendment in the Constitution, there's a little passage from Andrew M. Cohen. So you might want to reach out and find out about that. 516-877-0595 or amcohenlaw.com. Was I the Pirine Billy Sims question away from having a perfect Stump Rothenberg?
I think you were, yes.
Wow. I really am terrific. Huh?
You're on a roll. So where we go today? 5-1?
Five and one.
After 6-2. Mm-hmm. So we're up to 11-3 the past 2 weeks.
I mean, my war is unbelievable.
Oh, your war is incredible.
It's off the charts with the war. All right, let's get back into the NFL. 800-919-3776. Can't you kind of feel the people with Eli Manning's not a Hall of Famer? Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. Guys, Eli Manning is going to the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning had a great NFL career. Eli Manning is one of five people to walk the planet who is a two-time Super Bowl MVP. The other four, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame. He will complete the cycle. 5-4-5. You say he's not going, he is. Daniel Jones, maybe he goes one day. Well, that starts tomorrow.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
This caller says, you know, Eli turned the ball over a lot in his career. You're right. Most interceptions in the history of the NFL, Brett Favre by a wide margin. Great quarterback, no? George Blanda, second. John Hadle, great quarterback, no? Third. Vinny Testaverde, fourth. Fran Tarkenton, great quarterback, fifth. Johnny Unitas, well, he wasn't too shabby, seventh. Dan Marino, was decent, right? Eighth. Peyton Manning, good? I think so. Ninth. Y.A. Tittle, 10th. Dan Fouts, 13th. Eli Manning, 14th at 241. Right behind him, guy that I think will also go to the Hall, Drew Brees at 235. Followed by Warren Moon at 233. Followed by John Elway at 226. Stop trying to figure out a way that he's not going to go, because it's just going to frustrate you, because he's going to go. Guy that I have my own personal Hall of Fame at my home, and R.J. Bell was first ballot. So congratulations to you, R.J., and a happy Saturday to you.
Well, I never have to visit the enshrinement, do I?
I mean, we expected you here for you know, like the ceremony when you got in, but no, now
you know, I got to be honest, Dave. I think your take is pretty strong, and I agree with Eli, because it ultimately comes down to me. Do you believe the pure math guys, or are you a sports fan? Because the pure math guys say there is no clutch. The winning a Super Bowl, the dropping that pass into Manningham on the left sideline, that's the same as another pass. I don't believe
that. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's what the guys, I mean, but, you know, so, but if you believe that, then Eli across, you know, his career, I think you can debate it. But if you believe when the stakes are higher, it means more, or that your performance, obviously it means more, but your performance is more telling about you as a player, not just random. You got to like Eli in the Hall of Fame. I will make one exception. I'm not trying to attack you. Isn't hitting for the cycle 4-for-4?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, because it means that you hit a single, double, triple, home run.
You could go 4-for-9. It just means that you've hit for a single, double.
Yeah, but you were saying we complete the cycle 5-for-5. That just seemed off.
Well, my point is that there's been four guys who have won two Super Bowl MVPs, and they're all in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I agree. But that 5-for-5 being the cycle is the question.
Well, I wasn't talking about the baseball cycle. I was talking about just this cycle, like the multiple Super Bowl MVP cycle.
Maybe when we do 11 words or less, we can let people comment on that.
Maybe we can. You think I confused the listeners?
It certainly confused me.
It did?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm happy to have you here, though. R.J. Bell with us for the hour, 800-919-3776. So let's jump off there. Eli Manning out, Daniel Jones in. Spread-wise, any impact at all between these two quarterbacks?
Well, I think, and this is where it gets a little complicated, let's break it down into two factors. One, how good is the quarterback? Two, how does the team respond? My thought was early, first start for a rookie, you could make the case the most difficult start of a career. I think still a slight downgrade. 1 point to Jones. Oh, wait. Eli was horrible, wasn't he? Some people thought so.
I didn't think he was horrible, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. I think he was clearly bottom quartile of the league, maybe even, you know, bottom eighth, bottom three or four. But could a rookie with no starts be worse? Expected to be worse, perhaps, by a smidge. But here's the catch-22. Giants being perked up. Oh, the future is here. We thought would counteract that, so we're going to call it a neutral for game one. I think as time passes, even game two, it starts to be Daniel Jones being superior net when you consider the team and all other factors.
All right, so do you have a play here? Would you go Giants? Would you go Bucks? Would you say, you know what, I've never seen them before, I'm going to avoid it? Do you look at, you know, quarterbacks making their first start and think there's going to be struggle and you lean towards the Bucks? Where are you with this one?
I'm going to pass this game. I've been pretty high on the Giants relative to others. Obviously, I've been wrong on that. I think the concern is the defense.
If you talk, it's terrible. Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like something that can be corrected easily. To me, when I see problems that are correctable, they don't worry me as much in the NFL. When I see problems that are fundamental, as in how do you somehow do better, I'm not sure. I think the Giants' defense is slow, and I don't think their effort is all that outstanding. The effort can be corrected. I want to see it first.
They're bad. I mean, anybody that thinks, RJ, that this is anything but a bad football team is kidding themselves. Quarterback is like, that's the thing that we all focus on because it's such an important position. But all the other things that the Giants have, offensive line is fine. But for the most part, it's bad. And the defense, and you've talked about this with Greg Cosell, this defense is really bad.
Yeah, and Cosell mentioned, and here's a guy that is the opposite of hot takes. And he's not one to want to cause controversy. That's why he stuck around 40 years, right? And some of the things he said about the Giants defense, I haven't heard him say before. So often, and I think why I like the Giants early in the year, when you have a team that's been bad, you know, and I know they made the playoffs and had that road game against Green Bay a while back, but generally bad the last 5-6 years, you think they're better than their record from the prior year because now all these draft choices, you know, the Browns are doing it much more clearly with all, you know, Mayfield's there now. And, oh, we got this DN that was the number one pick. And, oh, you know, it's a little more glamorous. But really what the Browns are doing this year, I'm not saying they're all that good yet, but all the hype, all the expectation, it's just a culmination of picking, you know, high in the draft for a number of years. If I told you, who's the word? Let's say Miami, right? That's what they're trying to do, the process, right?
Oh, yeah.
How good? What's the over-under for the Dolphins 5 years from today? 5 seasons from now, if you had to put a number on it, isn't it 8.5?
Probably.
They're above average?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they have 3 first-round picks this year.
Yeah.
And multiple next year.
Yeah, well, certainly they have the Steelers, right? And they
Steelers this year, and they have the Texans this year and next year.
Yeah. So your conclusion is, hey, a lot of good draft choices means soon enough you're a good team. Well, haven't the Giants had a lot of good draft choices?
Well, here's Daniel.
Or at least I'm talking about where in the draft, number 7, number whatever.
Yeah, but Eli Apple was 10 and he stunk. Eric Flowers was 9 and he's horrendous. So anyone can have the draft choice, but if you're not hitting on the draft choice, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I agree. Number 1s are most important. But then if you get that number 2, let's say 34th or 37th, that's almost like a number 1. So even if you miss on a few, you're supposed to be better than you're supposed to be a deep team, a deep and at least decent team at this point. And it seems like the Giants, you know, times they've had good individual choices, but I think the draft has been really, really.
If you look back, and we did this on the show that we do during the week from 9:55 to noon that you always come on 12 on Friday, Humpty Canty and Rothenberg, we went through the Giants draft choices from 2012 to 2017. there's nothing there. I mean, 12, 13, 14, there's not a player on the roster anymore. These guys would be, 29, 30 years old, should be the key components. There's nothing there. So Jerry Reese was horrendous, and the jury is out on a lot of the draft choices that Gettleman has made.
Yeah, and there's really no way to build an NFL team other than
totally
through the draft.
Could not agree with you anymore. You can supplement it through free agency. You can't build it through free agency. Here's my question for you, honestly, it might be a terrible question. Do you ever look when you're thinking about placing a wager and say, this team has not covered X amount of times in a row? I like them or don't like them for that reason. Like, the Giants have not covered either of the first two games. They weren't even really close to covering the game. Does that ever impact either this week or at all ever the way you look at a game?
It's actually a great question because it allows us to talk about quickly how there's really two factors when it comes to betting a game. Betting a team. Factor one is how well are they playing on the field, and factor two is what is the perception that leads to the pricing of how they're playing on the field. So if you tell me that, I will often bet the worst team in the NFL. Often. I'll bet the worst team more than the best team because the human nature is to overvalue the best team and to undervalue the worst team. Oh, look how bad they are. And we all get pessimistic. That's human nature. The best team, oh, look how great they are, but they're good, but they're not great. So in general, how are they playing versus how are they perceived? When you have the difference, that's value. Literally, if it's the 31st worst team and the market thinks they're the worst, you're going to bat them.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
A lot to do. We got to play 11 words or less. We have to go around the league. I want some insight. You've been very good with your kind of best bets of the week. Do you have anything that jumps off the page this week?
Yeah, a couple things. You want my very best pick right now?
No, huh? No. I'd like to wait. How about 11? What time do you want to give that out? Like, let's make that let's really promote that. Make it appointment listening.
Well, listen, we're 2-0 on it. I think last segment, we kick off the last segment, and then we have a little repartee to end it.
Okay. So like 11:46-ish, we're just going to explode with your play of the week.
Yeah. Well, we're going to give a rock solid reasoning, and I'll tease it. It involves the Steelers and Jimmy G, and Mike Tomlin helped me with the pick.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Now, here's my question for you, and it won't give anything away. Is it an over-under, or is it?
I only give sides. I'm audience first. It's a weird thing with me. Maybe it's part of my success. I'm always thinking about the audience, and I know they like sides better than totals. Now, occasionally, I'll throw a two-teamer that's correlated in, and maybe we'll you know what we'll do? Why don't we start the show? This is almost like the Oscars. We'll start this next week with my second best pick and end the show with the best.
Now, here's the thing. Will we remember this? Ty, write this down.
Yeah, I know Michelle, my new friend Michelle will remember.
Mish, write that down. We're going to lead the show, the pleasantries, and then right out of the gates, your second best pick.
Exactly. Like the best supporting actress, how they do that. And then, boom, at the end, it's the best.
At the end, it'll be Meryl Streep. At the beginning, it's like, hey, Renee Zellweger, you're good. You
exactly.
Win.
Yeah, so you ready for that? You want it?
I love it. I don't like it. I love it.
Let's go with the New York Jets. Yes.
As the
second best pick.
Supporting actress.
Yes. And to me, this was probably my best pick. I'm concerned about Antonio Brown being cut because my theory was last week they made the statement, Belichick did with the blowout, hey, this is not a distraction to us. Don't worry about it. Don't start getting faith. You can beat us. It doesn't matter. No distraction here. That with the Dolphins' revenge, 5 out of 6 times in Miami, the Dolphins had won, I thought drove the margin. I didn't think he'd really want margin here. I mean, he wanted to win. He wouldn't try not to score, but he wasn't going to strive, Belichick, for margin. Now, more distraction than ever. Reports at Kraft. Well, I haven't read all those stories. Have you read the Kraft stories that he was very upset?
No, with releasing him or with signing
him?
No, with
all the stories and that they were dragging this out and they should, you know, he should be out. You know, I guess he was just mad at all the publicity, Kraft.
They should have signed him in the first place if they were going to be upset.
Yeah, but let's be honest. You thought he was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm misremembering something, but they thought he was a goofball, right, when they signed him. And then there was multiple, you know, sexual assault allegations. Right.
And I had read something earlier this week that if they had known all the assault things were on the horizon, they wouldn't have signed them at all.
Yeah, I would think not. Yeah. So, and once you do, you kind of got sunk costs to some degree, and then you try to ride it out. And, you know, let's not damn the Patriots in the way that, you know, he's yet to be found guilty of anything. So, you know, the old innocent before proven
guilty.
Which
is true, but it's just, you know what, there's so much smoke there now because you have multiple women and you have the text coming out of him, you know, going after that one woman who's accusing him of things and sending photos of her family back to her. It's just, it's a really bad look for him.
No doubt, and I think the cut came with that. But you could easily say that it was a reasonable signing before when they did it.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the contract.
Yeah, originally with none of the sexual allegations against him, it was fine. Once that started to come out of the woodwork and over and over and over, you had to cut ties, and they did.
Yeah, and but see, it's all this can be a whole other debate that it shouldn't be today. But quickly, it's one of those things though. If you're going to let a personal opinion of even the owner or whatever dictate, and I get it, it's their team, but let's say in a societal sense, I don't care how much smoke there is, right? Ultimately, you go to jail when it's proven, and now the question is, what's your rights before you're proven guilty? Because there's going to be a lot of jobs that being up for even murder, whatever, wouldn't allow you to be fired, right? With a union or
absolutely.
And I think that's right. I mean, to me, what's great about the justice system in 10 seconds is the freedoms and the rights we give the accused. Because it's easy to get draconian and tough once someone's guilty. But boy, what's even worse is being tough before someone's been proven guilty.
All right, a little bit of news from baseball, and then we'll get to 11 words or less. Gleyber Torres felt good this morning. He's going to go for an MRI today to check his right hamstring. So anything that happens there, we will certainly keep you up to date with as far as the very important Yankees second baseman. Are you ready? Are you up for 11 words or less?
Yeah, and just to be explicit, because I like to formally finish my picks then, the reason the Jets have dropped off is the odds have, and the spread has decreased since he was cut.
By a lot, right?
Well, from 22 to 21.
I thought it was 23. All right, so a full point. But typically you'll say that you know, skill position players aren't really worth all that much.
Well, Brown is, in my opinion, one of the 5th, 6th, 7th most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL. And when he's playing to his full potential, what surprised me about this move, one is the move from 22 to 21 involves a key number, right? 21 happens a lot, so it's a more valuable than a typical number. When I say happens, it's a common margin of victory. Then you consider, I thought there was a counterpoint where the absence of Brown, the removal of the distraction, was a positive. So a negative on the field, positive off the field. The market's disagreeing. They're just saying negative off the field or on the field that he's gone now and that he's a good player. And I think it's an overreaction. So let's just say I would have liked the Jets much more at 22 with Brown if Brown was on the pads than currently. Still, though, second best pick, 10 last seconds. If you can do it, more than half the bookies won't let you. If you can do it, bet under with it. If the Jets do cover, the under is a wonderful two-team correlated parlay.
All right, let's go. 11 words or less, and we got to rip through them. We can't have four-minute soliloquies from you, okay? You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Matt Brooklyn, 11 words or less.
Who's my best parlay if I want to use the Cowboys?
The Cowboys. So if you say best parlay, there's two possibilities. One is the Cowboys going to be correlated. And the only real correlation with the Cowboys would be over. So this is classic in college oftentimes. If you go with the big favor, you go over. For the same reason, this is great. It's almost like we planned it. For the same reason, you go dog and under. If you're laying the lumber, a lot of points, you want a lot of points in the game. if you're taking the points, you want those points to be more valuable. So if you are going to play the Cowboys, I would say Cowboys and over in the same game.
All right, let's go to Wayne in Jersey. Wayne, you're on 11 words or less.
Mr. Bell, who do you think will sign Antonio Brown next? Less.
They're still back to last week,
Dave. Yeah, he doesn't like the callers.
I love it. Love it. And we haven't had a more yet. I don't think anyone does this year.
No. I don't. I got to tell you, I think, I don't think he'll ever play in the NFL again.
Well, see, that's interesting. Let's just say this. If he resolves, even if there's a bunch of civil payments, if he doesn't get, if he's not in jail and there's no outstanding issues, I would guarantee he plays next year.
Well, we'll see. I think it's hard to believe that he's not going to be in some legal trouble.
Oh, and if he is, he is. But I'm saying if he's not in jail, even if he pays off a civil suit, like really, what's the penalty in a civil suit? It's the money.
Right.
Once you've served the penalty, quote unquote served, you're done.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I don't want to get into a whole Antonio Brown discussion. Well,
last question. Last question, Dave. Is Ray Rice, if he was 24 when this happened, you think he would be back playing again?
I do.
I do too?
Yeah. I do. All right. Look, but here, see, you always draw me into these conversations. Antonio Brown is impossible. Like, he's been banished from multiple teams now at this point. He had $50 million coming from the Raiders. He couldn't make it work there. He couldn't make it work with the Patriots. He's a disaster right now. Ray Rice, end of his career. I'm not making light of the issue at all. It was horrendous. He had one issue. Other than that, he was a good soldier for his team for a long time.
Yeah, but the question is, which ones are what is the hanging offense? Meaning, Ray Rice, the one thing, once the video came out, was enough. Brown didn't have one of those until the, you know, multiple kind of half, you know, capital offenses for this analogy. So thus, I'm not even sure if any one of these had happened, he would still be on a team. It's the fact they all happened, I think. In a year, that's not even pertinent anymore, if he can clean up his act.
All right, Jake in Chester. Jake, you're on 11 words or less.
Will the Patriots cover the spread against the Jets?
I mean, he just sat here telling you he likes.
No,
the,
but he was. Listen, let's give the guy
he
credit.
Likes the Jets. It's unacceptable.
I know you hate the callers deep down. What I'm saying is, I hate when they underperform. I like them as people.
Yeah, they're great people, but that was the definition.
Well, I don't know if they're great, but here's what I'll tell you.
Kevin Brown in Game 7. Just said I like the Jets plus the points. And
I know, but he was.
You know
why we had to excuse him?
No.
He was sitting there with the pencil, writing the words down, making sure he only had less than 11. That kind of diligence we want to appreciate. It's not about listening to Dave Rother. It's not about listening to you every second.
I'm going to remember this next time you say something and I say something dumb, and I'll be like, but RJ, give me
the
benefit.
You're a professional.
You did it with this guy.
You're a professional, Dave. You get paid. You're making more money than probably odds are three of these callers for talking. All right? So be nice.
I'm very talented.
Hey, Michelle, you might want to clip that out.
All right, let's go to Sal in Yonkers. 11 words or less, Sal.
Could you please give me three teams for a suicide pool?
So what we got to do, David's new rule is, I'm happy for these quirky questions, but it can't just be, RJ, what's your third best pick? What's your voice? All right, suicide pool. This is a great macro teach a man to fish topic. So here's what you do. It doesn't matter if you bet. It doesn't matter. If you don't bet, you get the lines. Now, we do the odds for the Associated Press, which is 750 newspapers. You can do that. You can go to pregame.com, click the game center. The lines are there, if you bet or not. That's telling you what Vegas thinks. Why not have Vegas partner with you in your suicide pool? That literally is what you can do if you look at the odds. Now, ask yourself the following question. If you have multiple games above a touchdown, will this team be in a better spot? Think about the Patriots in week one. They were laying the lumber at Miami, except that's a road game. Inevitably, they'd have Miami at home. So the theory was the Pats would be a much bigger favorite than that, you know, 6 points or whatever. So that is a consideration. You would rather wait for them and take the other team. But here's the catch-22, and this is why it's art and not science. If you have a team that might be a higher line, likely a higher line later, but they are 2, 3, 4 points better the line this week, you've got to balance it. Do you wait for the better? opportunity and take the lesser one now, or vice versa. What's easy is if you have multiple good ones now, take the one that you think is going to be offer you the least value later, because, you know, usually these pools are one and done for our team.
All right, 800-919-3776.
I got a gripe, Dave.
What?
I got a gripe. It's like, what? That's the fourth answer I've hit out of the park. It's like, talk about hitting for the cycle, but this is different. Four home runs. And you go, yeah.
Hmm. Well, here, you want me to bring you behind the scenes?
Well, no, because I'm a professional host myself. I know when someone answers a good question, well, I'll say, very interesting, or great stuff, RJ. That's why you're here.
Boy, RJ, the insight that you're adding is unbelievable. We're also way late for our break. So if you would pay a little more attention to the clock and a little less with the rambling, you'd get...
It's not a hard stop, Dave. It's not a hard stop.
Mm-hmm. you're very... It's not a hard stop. Look at you with the radio lingo.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.